Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The man, the myth, the legend, all the way from Italia, Federico Italia. Pellegrino. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for hosting me. It's a pleasure. First of all, I want to say sorry for my English. I'm not so good, but I think that everybody can understand what I'm saying because it's not so top level English. So
we can say the same. We can say sorry as well.
We all have to apologize then.
Okay. sorry for the English.
how do we say good evening? Is it buena serata? Is that how?
Buonasera.
Buonasera. Buonasera. Buonasera. Buonasera.
Yeah, and you need to add the Italian slang. Buonasera. You need to look
then
like...
It depends. By, you know, Italy is really big and long. And so it depends by where you come from. So buonasera is good for everybody.
I don't know. You are from the north, I would guess, because you're a skier.
Northwest. Northwest. I live in the same region where we compete in 2019 in Cogne. This is the region with the highest mountains of the Alps, because we have the Mont Blanc, Monte Bianco, 4,800 meters altitude. And then here where I live in Gressonay, I have the Monte Rosa, so Mont Rose. And this is 4,500 meters altitude. So we are inside the mountains, so in the northern part.
Yeah. And do you have skiing conditions right now?
Yes, for sure. In the last, I've been really lucky because when I come back from Lillehammer on Tuesday, I skied on my Abilica treadmill in the garage. But day after, I did 40 kilometers in a loop of less than 1 kilometer. And then it came alpha meter snow, and now I have 15 kilometers of track. So it's enough for me. I opened the door and I can ski. Here is 1,400 meters altitude. So it's cold enough, and I can ski and I can train well.
But Federico,
it's not like Nordsetter. It's not like Nordsetter and Sjusjön, where we have been last week. But yes, I use what I have.
But let's talk about that, because to the people who don't know you, tell us a bit about your story and how you found skiing. Because for us Norwegians, we are born with skis on our feet, so it's like beginning to ski. That's, I think, most Norwegians do that. But how is that in Italia?
In my region, the culture of cross-country skiing is really high level since the first Olympics with Nordic skiing. The village, the place where I come from, it's a small village, a small valley, the valley of Saint-Barthélemy. And there are no alpine loops. So the ski club, it's only for cross-country skiing. So it's a big tradition of cross-country skiing in my village, yes. And I think, yes, my father was skiing with the friends, and they were cheering for the Italians by the 90s. He was in Lillehammer 1994. He was there to cheer. So when me and my brother, 2 years older than me, we were young, we went up to the mountains and we started to use the skis. Yes, for sure. The difference between Italy and Norway is that in Italy, if we are lucky, we can have snow from the beginning of December until the end of March. And so maybe then when we talk about professional skiing, we can discuss even about this. But the passion grew up inside me, together with the passion of football and with the passion of music. So I grew up playing football all the year, everywhere, and skiing in winter. Then when I was 16 years old, I was inside the regional team of football and cross-country skiing. And I had to decide to do the first important choice of my life, because was not possible to continue to study and to do everything. Cross-country skiing were starting to be tough from the summer, so with trainings. So I had to choose, and I chose cross-country skiing. Then I continued to ski, and I have been lucky to be ready when I was around 19 with good results in the Italian championships. For go inside my military group, my ski club now, since 2009. And
what was this military group? That's something I've heard about down in Europe. You have this like military and skiing go hand in hand. What was that?
It's a way to have professional skiers, professional athletes from not so famous sports. So it's a way that started in the 80s, and we have in Italy many military groups, because we have police. This is where I am, and the sport part of police is the Gruppo Sportivo Fiamme Oro, the Gold Flames. This is the name. And and then there are Carabinieri, there is the Fiamme Gialle, that is the finance police. Then there is the army. And yes, that's it, because before we had the forest police, but now they are together with Carabinieri. So in Italy, if you want to be a top athlete of a non-top sport, so excluded football, volleyball, basketball, and tennis, golf, all the other sports, motorsport, yes.
So it's a way to finance the sport.
Yes. Yeah. This is a great opportunity that we have, really great.
Of course.
But for going inside these groups, so to get paid, you have to be one of the best athletes of your age when you are 17, 18 years old. So ski clubs and families, mostly, and regional groups, regional teams, push a lot athletes to be strong there. And so by the mind, yes, athletes are strong there, but maybe not only because they put a lot of their self inside what they are doing, even because they are not enough old to be so professional. And so maybe they train a lot only because the coach say train a lot, and then maybe they are stronger only because they grew up before the other children, we can call children. Yeah. And so with these results, then you can get this place inside the military group. And this is the line. So if you want to be a professional skier, in Italy, you have to be good when you are 17. Okay. Later is really hard. It's really hard. For example, me, I when I was 17, I was the fifth of the age 90.
Yeah.
And I went
People
inside
born
military
in
group.
1990,
yes.
Yeah.
I went inside the military group really like the last call. But only because I was really young. I was
the yeah, you didn't hit puberty as soon as the others, so I guess that's
yeah. I was later. Yeah. I was a little bit late by this, and so this by this I was really lucky.
I think they're happy about their decision today. That took you along. Yeah. I guess they're happy.
Yes, but this is a big problem in Italy. This is
I think also the international skiing is quite happy actually. Yeah. Because international skiing would not be international skiing if not Federico Pellegrino would join the military forces or the police forces at the age of 17. I was like, oh. But I heard, yes. I heard a saying, you said that the first time you traveled to Norway, you skied in, I think it was Nusjatir and Sjusjøen, and then you said that you could not understand how you could compete with the Norwegians because you compared the skiing in Norway with the skiing in the mid-Europe, and in the middle part of Europe, there is always some ski instructors teaching someone to ski, but in Norway, people just put on their skis and ski.
Yes, this is incredible. But not only the first time. Every time that I go in Norway, if there is somebody training with me, they can feel that I have inside me this saying, angry, that I feel how is possible for us to try to beat them. And then I always say, Kiko, how you could beat them so many times? Yes, not all maybe, because one in the last 5-6 years, one was close to be impossible to beat. But how you could? So this, but not only in winter, not only by skiing, because as I said before, we can speak about month of snow, because what I have seen in the end of November in Nordsæter for us is not possible. And then but mostly in spring. In spring, for us, it's not possible to ski in the beginning of April. If you are lucky, you have to go to maybe where you live. Where I come from, Saint Barthélemy is 2,000 meters altitude. So there, inside the valley, in the end of the valley, there is a 30K loop of cross-country skiing. It's really good. And so I think the Norwegians can enjoy to ski there because you are like in Norway, but inside the mountains. So it's a really good place. But because I know the people that own the refuge, is the name, the restaurant in the end of the valley. So they groom for me this final part of the valley, but only because I am lucky on this. But mostly people in Italy in the end of March stop to ski. So in Norway you can go until July in Sognefjellet, for example, or maybe other places. So the total amount of hour of skiing is, I think, more than the double that a 30 years old athlete has compared to the Norwegians. So this is one really important thing. The other one is that in summer, to train in Norway, I go there because I know in July and August, when in Italy in the mountains there are a lot of people, coming for tourists coming for holidays, it's really dangerous to do cross country skiing, to do roller skiing on the roads, and then we don't have so many roller ski tracks. And if we have roller ski tracks, the roller ski tracks are not the same as there are in Norway. Not like in Trondheim, for example, in Granåsen, that you can ski, you can do roller skiing exactly under the winter track. And I can only imagine Klabo that from his house in 20 minutes he can do warming up, going by roller skiing on cycling road from his house to Granåsen, and then to go there and train exactly what he will find in 2025 when he will have to win the gold medal at home. So what you said before, yes. So in the end, in Norway, what I think is that you have so many more facilities than and the rest of the world, or at least for the Alps, people from the Alps. But by the other side, you have to perform. You have to be ready. You have to be ready in the end of November to take the place for going the first races in World Cup. And in first races of in World Cup, you have to be strong enough to keep the place for Tour de Ski and the World Ski Championship. So at the end is balance, I think. What you have more, then you have less by this really thing.
Oh, that's a good point. But both you and I see that the results, if we take out the sprint in Beitostølen, has been really dominated by the Norwegians. And for a long period of time, if the result will be like this, there will be a problem for the sport that we both have a really passionate relationship with and for. What do you think is the solution? Is there a way of can we make the sport more balanced by? Do you have a solution? Because
or do you think it is a problem? Like, let's start there. Do you agree? Like, do you agree that it's a problem, or do you feel like that it's just going in cycles?
I think, first of all, we have to understand that if there is a problem, which is the problem? At the moment, what it seems is that the problem is that the TV views are going down. And not only TV views, even the cheering people along the tracks. Because we are seeing that Norwegians are dominating this sport, but we are not seeing that people enjoy enough to come to Lillehammer and Beitostølen to cheer for their champions. So I don't know if you remember, in some places, I think now if we go to USA, this will be incredible about cheering, because Jesse Diggins is pushing a lot with results and even with her way to communicate. But or for example, in Konya, where I live, in Aosta Valley, in 2019, it was 15,000 people coming there to cheer. So I think if we can speak about a problem, I think this is the problem. TV views and people. So the way that people can enjoy looking cross-country skiing, because then we have not to do the mistake to compare the views of cross-country skiing to the people that do cross-country skiing. Because in Italy and in the Alps, in the last years, when it was good snow, I've seen a growing of people doing cross-country skiing. So it's not this; it's two different things that we can speak about. But by the other side, we have this great opportunity that cross-country skiing, compared to other winter sports like biathlon or ski jumping, for example, cross-country skiing is done by the people, because ski jumping and biathlon is a show that we can enjoy looking, watching on television. Me too. I love to look to watch biathlon by television. But by the other side, they don't have this opportunity to have people that know exactly what people are doing in television. I don't know if you can understand me.
Yeah,
for example,
why
athletics is so good, is so strong, because everybody, maybe not everybody, mostly knows how to run or to walk. Yeah. So it's more easier to communicate the toughness of the sport to the people that can understand what people are doing on television. So we have this base that we can use, and not only in Norway, because people are doing cross-country skiing in many places in the world. In the Alps, if you go to in Val di Fiemme, or if you go to Seefeld, Leutasch, or somewhere in Germany, it's in some days of the year, it's full of people doing cross-country skiing. But the real question that we can ask is how we can communicate better what we are doing in agonistic part.
Because then if you have more spectators at the stadiums watching the heroes, then there will be more inspired kids going home, putting on their skis and start training. And then you will actually solve the first problem that I addressed. Because if you have many people interested, then you will have more people inspired to start doing the sports in itself. Is that your thoughts? Are you thinking?
I think that for sure. I enjoy a lot looking at biathlon on television, but even alpine skiing. Okay, I think I didn't miss one race in the last 3 or 4 years of biathlon and alpine skiing. With Eurosport player in the evening, you have time to you can go looking if even in by on demand site. So
this will stop when once you get your first child, then you will okay. Your interest in biathlon will go down because your time is you stop on other things. But that's another
story.
I'm not scared.
But what I can say is that
you know Johannes Tinius Bø, he will probably win. And then
if I don't watch it,
maybe
for
maybe.
Sure. But for example, the show that they can put on the television, for example, in Kontiolahti, where it was with no Russians and no people from Russia cheering for the athletes that in this place in the past were a lot. The show was a little bit less. And even yep. by the Italian television, when there is only maybe one commentator instead of two, even by this, the show was a little bit less.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
It's not only about what athletes are doing, it's even about what can be around them.
I have a comment, because this one I've been thinking about, and also I think I addressed it to the FIS once I was an athlete myself, because if you see a ski jumping competition, or if you see a biathlon competition, or if you see alpine skiing, the actual competition is perhaps not more exciting than a cross-country skiing. But I think that those sports are better than cross-country skiing, because they put up a show for the spectators that will fit the spectators who are not so interested in the sports alone. They have... sorry to say, beer or alcohol. They have music. They have things to buy. If you attend at a football match, you cannot walk 5 meters without getting asked to buy a suit or a hat or a flag. Or I think that the FIS or the organizers in cross-country skiing should have the same. So we could buy the Pellegrino suit, we could buy the Klebo gloves, we could buy whatever, just to make more show out of the whole competition and the whole day.
That's why you call the 50K in the Norman Collin festival.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not race 50K.
Yes.
Fifth mila.
Femmila.
You call it festival. This is, and I think by FIS, first step is to have a calendar that is always the same. Kitzbühel is always the last weekend of January. And people knows that the last weekend of January, if you go there, you will do a big party. Even because, yes, it's a historical race. But, and even for the Holmenkollen Ski Festival, is first the first possible
weekend, of March.
Weekend
after
World Championship. So, going back to the question, I think that people for going to cheer to the races has to see that competing there are all the best, by my opinion. Because when you know that there are all the best athletes in the world, you feel that is the power of this race. You can see there, in this place, in this 5K loop, there are all the strongest people, strongest persons, able to do cross-country skiing. So this is the first goal. So for having all the athletes competing, for sure the calendar has to be healthy. And to have a calendar healthy is not like in 2020 when we had 9 weekend consecutively, then 1 rest, and then 7 weekends. So it was not possible to compete in every race. And so in this case, Klabo, when he said, I like this calendar because I can choose, I can select which race, but this for him is the best solution, is the best choice, but not for people that go there to see the best athletes, but without Klabo. Oh, sorry. Then for sure in Beto Stolen, Pellegrino was not there, but I was not there for a personal reason that maybe after 13 seasons in which every sprint I was there, maybe people can understand this. And people that are, I was speaking about Hölfi calendar. We were discussing about this with Astrid Jakobsen in an athletes meeting some years ago, because she was studying as a doctor. And she said, this calendar is not healthy. Because if you do all the races, for sure, with the travels, with the less time for training, and with the tiredness, then for sure you will become, or you will become sick, or then the shape will go too fast down.
Sick or tired?
Sick or tired. What we have seen until today in Beto, that the Norwegians were not so strong, like, for example, they were the strongest, as always, in the 10K, for sure. In the sprint, a little bit less, okay? But in the 10K, they were less strong than in Rukka, for example. By my opinion, is even because this was the fourth weekend in a row that athletes had to compete at their best. So was I can imagine like a guy like Even Northug, for example. This was the fourth weekend that he had to perform to be ready. And even with the first good results, more stress. And so you can understand what I mean. So a better distribution of the races along the winter can help. And this winter calendar somewhere is a little bit better. Like, for example, before and after Tour de Ski, for example.
But you said that you wanted the best athletes to be at the same venue at the same time. What if there are 10 Norwegians among top 20 skiers in the world? You would like all the 10 Norwegians to be there? Or would you, like now, have quotas where you have a national... the country who hosts the event gets more spaces, and then there is... fewer from Norway in Kusamo than in Lillehammer, for example?
I think this can be the biggest question of this 10 years. But not only in cross-country skiing. I think they are talking about this even in alpine skiing and in some other places. So when it will be that moment in which the ski federations will be the host for the World Ski Championships and Olympics, for sure, but all the other races will be athletes has to compete for private teams. This is the biggest question. I don't have exactly the right answer by the moment, but if we want to still continue to compete as ski federations, national quotas, extra quotas, by my opinion, has to be stopped. So, 6 is the maximum that they fix. If you are the World Cup leader, you are one of these 6. But FIS has to give you the possibility to compete. But one of the 6. If you are the best of the Scandinavian Cup, you can compete. FIS...
Same as in Alpen Cup?
Alpen Cup, you can be there, you can be at the start, because FIS has to push on even on the lowest races.
So they can
but
learn.
This is against the ski federations, because maybe the ski federations know that the top Scandinavian Cup from Norway is not the same as World Cup athlete. But in this way, I think Norwegians, for example, will have to have a more harder fight inside the fences, so inside the country. And this can give a little more opportunity to other countries to grow. So,
but how is that fair, though? How is that fair if, let's say, 12 Norwegians are among the top 20 athletes in the world? How would you say to the bottom six in Norway that you guys are better than the whole German team or the whole whatever nation's team, but you guys had to stay at home because all the other nations has decided that they want easier competition. They don't want too many of the talented Norwegians there.
So by this, you think that Olympics are an easier competition?
Well. If let's say the 10 or 12 best athletes in the world of are Norwegians, of top 20, then it is easier, of course.
So Olympics, it's the is a easier competition than World Cup.
If the best athletes are not at start, it is by definition it will be easier. Like that's. Of course it is, but I'm not saying I'm a proponent for the Olympics and the World Cups to stay the same as it is now, because we at some point, if you are going to have, as you are saying, if you're going to have federations or nations competing against each other, you can't, let's say Brazil could probably have three national teams compete in the World Cup now, and then of course that will ruin the whole competition. But I think that on Liverpool, Manchester United, and Chelsea, you could have all Brazilians. Fine, top. People will still cheer for Chelsea. People will still cheer for Liverpool. So that's why I feel like the only solution is to have a private teams to keep some type of authenticity in the sport.
Yeah, but what do you think, Frederico? If cross country skiing were to do like cycling. And
it shouldn't be like cycling, whole, though, but we can discuss that later.
Yeah, but you have private teams. And if an Italian team got some good Norwegians, how would you feel that the Italian kids would look at that team? Would that be good for recruiting more Italians to cross-country skiing or no?
At the moment, by how Italy is organized about teams with the military groups, as I said, at the moment, I think can be not so bad for Italy. Because we have this great opportunity. Other countries, I don't know. Say me, the 30 best, 30th. Athlete in Norway gain for sure 30,000 euros per year until when he will go to pension by sponsors or by clubs.
Perhaps not so. I think in traditional cross-country skiing, no. But I think if you look to long-distance skiing, ski classics, I think the amount of salary is higher because you have private teams. Private investors, and I think the salaries are higher. I don't think the salaries are so high in traditional cross-country skiing. I know that we spoke to, I read an interview with, I think it was Gulberg,
Paul, yeah.
Who said that, because when you're on the national team in Norway, of course you have some private sponsors, but you also get paid by the federation. And he said that the salaries from the ski federation for the last 10 years has gone down. So I don't think that the salaries is so high in traditional skiing. But my thoughts were that if you have private teams and you have one big team in each country, and also that every team took the responsibility to take locals and youngsters and make them better by maybe perhaps training with the Federico Pellegrino if he was on the team, or with Emil Iversen, or with Paul Gulberg, or with Klæbo, or whoever is on the A team, and trying to build an environment and trying to make a skiing culture and also a performance culture within the nations based in a private team. If you understand, I think what I mean.
This can be possible. Can be not a bad idea. Even because I've seen something similar, for example, by the Russians.
Yeah, because you, as I saw now in Ski Classics today, Thomas Bing, he finished third. I don't know which team he's on, but he's not on the German national team anymore, as far as I know. So he's probably in one of those teams. Like Germany, they have many people, like you say, many great venues, many people skiing, but they don't have a culture anymore. Maybe if we could try to help them by privatizing, and maybe then you need to reorganize everything in cross-country skiing. I know it's a radical thing to say, but I think this could be a really good solution for cross-country skiing.
We have to put a little bit order on all the things that we said in the last 5 minutes. So the first step was, it's fair that you cannot allow that all the strongest are competing in World Cup races. Okay, this was the first step. So then we went to, it's fair that in the Olympics only 4 athletes per nation can compete.
Yeah, because that's competition. That competition is a nation against nation, and you have to have, you can't let all the best necessarily compete. Like you can't have 3 Brazil's team in the World Cup in football.
Yes, okay.
You have to pick one team. And
yes, so until when there are ski federations involved directly to compete in World Cup races, I think that can be, we have to take care of quotas. But
yes,
we can think then the possibility to stop this idea of World Cup, but we can call it
Mickey Mouse Cup.
A cup, I don't know, okay?
Yeah.
And I think, by the other side, that if somebody want to try this, can. So there is Ski Classic, Visma Ski Classic, that is going, okay? They can even start to organize sprints and 15K, and then we can see if there is more show even in the traditional races, in the traditional Olympic format. We can say this, because the traditional cross-country skiing, I think, is the Ski Classic races more than our sprints are born in the in 2000 in the end of 90s and Vasa López, when he's born.
100 years. I think it was 100 years.
That's before me. You understand. And I'm old.
You understood what I was meaning. So then we can see if can be more show in this way, even because we have to, I think, cross country skiing by the ski federations, as it is now, has to take care of the TV viewers out of Norway, out of Sweden.
Totally agree.
If we need, and Norway need this, because Norway, Paul Goldberg said in the last 10 years, the salary went down, okay?
Mm.
And the results of Norway went up by the men.
Yes.
So there is a problem. The biggest problem is for Norway, because my salary was always the same by military group, okay? In Italians, what I said before, the 30 best Italian athletes that have been good at 17 years old, get more salary, a higher salary than the 30th of Norwegian. So there's a problem here somewhere.
So if there is a Norwegian skier with an Italian mom or dad, he or she should move to Italy and join the
if he's 16 years
17,
old.
17. Yeah. 16.
But I'm not so sure that he's strong. Early. I'm not so sure that at 16 years old he is stronger than the Italians. Because when he has been training
the Italian way. to try to fit in the police or
no, the but if you look at the AOF, for example, AOF, yes. You know, Italy is really good there.
In the junior, and also the USA.
Yeah.
Team USA has been, I think they won the relay 2 or 3 years in a row.
Even in the Junior World Ski Championship, the USA guys were really strong. I am waiting them. For sure they will come. Schumacher, all the Ogden, they are coming.
I think that they need to they are very strong physically, but they need the technique is not perfect. They are looking like me, and that's not a compliment.
But somebody are coming from places where they can ski really a lot of months. For example, the Alaska. In Alaska, they are skiing. So, but they have other kind of problems. So we were speaking about this fact that to continue to have in this way by World Cup races. The ski federations need to find a way to have more viewers by television. So to have this, they can't only hope in a Pellegrino or in a Colonia or in a Kowalczyk, Bauer, one or every top years that are coming from the non-Scandinavian countries coming really strong to try to put the audience a little bit more. This is too far. This is too hard to reach.
But that's what they're doing.
I think.
We spoke a couple of years ago, we talked to Vegard Ulvang, the head of FIS, and we talked to him about this, and he told us straight up, he said, no, this goes in cycles. Don't worry, guys. Right now, Norway is really good, Sweden is good, but that it goes in cycles. So, like, remember the 90s, Italians were dominating, and that will happen again. I honestly felt that they didn't see the need to do anything.
No, Ulvang, this is one of the people, even some old Italian skiers, for example, that have been in the FIS subcommittees. And it depends by which was their goal when they took decisions. The goal was to find a way to have the strongest athletes competing or to put up the viewers.
Okay.
This was the goal. So I think, for example, Ulvang did a great job for Norway, for sure. Because then we have seen the results in these
salaries have gone down. How has it?
No, for the results. The salary was not a goal for Ulvang, I hope, because then it was really bad. But by the results in Oberstdorf, all the medals were there.
Yeah.
And so I think this can be the discussion, but I don't. It's really hard because FIS is ski federations. The council is the president, are the presidents of the ski federations. So they want to continue in this way to have World Cup with the national teams. So for sure something has to change. By my opinion, if the goal is, for example, to have all the athletes competing all the weekends, first of all, a better calendar.
Yeah.
And this way to give points this year, maybe, for sure is not the best, okay? But it's a little bit more through the goal to have mostly times all the athletes competing.
Because then you need to be on start, because if you're not, then you are punished.
I think that cross-country skiing tried to separate distance and sprint in the beginning of when it was born, when they put the sprint globe and distance globe, even if we know that the weight was not the same, because by the calendar there were less than 1/3 sprint and more than 2/3 distance races. Okay, they tried, but not so hardly. So at the moment, we don't have, like in alpine skiing, technical and fast disciplines.
Mm.
We have a little mix, even because sprint, to win a sprint, you have to be a resistant athlete. I started to win the sprints when I started to train more and better for the distance qualities, more than the talent of to be fast and tricky. And so I think this trying that they started in the early 2000 years, and I think that it's not gone in the perfect way, even because only one at the moment in the last 6-7 years, before even the Swedish were really strong, but in the last 6-7 years only one sprint team have been really good, the French guys.
Yeah.
All the other sprint team are called sprint team, but the Norwegian sprint team is not a sprint team, because Valnes by the sprint team won the 30k in the nationals. Bransdal won the 50k in Holmenkollen. So, or for example, or now Goldberg or Klabo, many years in the sprint team. This was not a sprint team. This was a normal cross country team.
And also you see that Richard Schuv is getting his distance kings much better.
Because they started to improve distance qualities. Yeah. Because if you want to be... I start the final with more than 10 lactate in my muscles. So I have to learn to teach my body and to train my body to take it lower before, during all the steps of the sprint, for coming in the final, to try to have a little bit less.
Yeah.
But
tired,
if you don't have distance resistance qualities, then even for the sprint is not possible. But with the normal calendar until this year, for example, for me it was not possible to be ready for all the races, even the distance races. Was not possible, so I had to choose where to compete and to try to do my best.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Best.
Yeah.
So...
What do you think about the future, Federico? Now, let's say we don't do anything. Let's say we just stick to Vegard Ulvang's plan and we just say this will sort itself out in some way, because we have seen before, and that's true though, in his defense, we have seen that we had the 90s with Italians. The Italians, they were the best. Well, Norwegians have always been there, but you had the Italians were one of the best nations in cross-country skiing. Then you had the Germans with Teichmann, Angrid, they dominated. And so do you think, like, if we do nothing, what will happen now? We just keep on doing what we always done. Will the sport die?
Have you ever seen a Alpen Cup race as a loop, as a number of laps, as a total climb of race, or maybe the longest uphill of a race? Is that possible to compare this with the Scandinavians tracks? And so if we are waiting to have strong athletes from the Alps by the system, not by the talent, okay, but by a system that goes through a better many athletes that grow up together until the top, then it will be almost impossible to have athletes out of Norway and Norwegian, or Norway or Sweden to be in the in the top level.
And that will be the death of the sport, at least at the way, like as a world sport. It will probably be like a Norwegian and Swedish championship sport, and maybe we have like a Scandinavian championship, but the world won't care because no, like we have to be honest, we live in a country with 5 million people and nobody cares about us. Like maybe Federico Pellegrino cares a bit when he has to decide, like prepare for the, his opponents, but most of Europe doesn't care about Norway.
But what can be different is that if in some ways you can put up the TV views with, as I said before, less number of athletes per nation competing. So that means like trials for the Americans athletics, okay? So yeah, more hard competition inside the North, for example, or inside Norway, then you can have different top athletes in the top positions. Then maybe, this is only an idea, maybe more sponsors even for the non-Norwegian or Sweden nations, more sponsor and more public money, yeah, to publicity, build.
Yeah.
Better roller ski tracks, better cross country ski tracks, and to help in this way. We are too late. People don't understand that. I went two nights ago with the groomer of the track.
Yeah.
On a field close to my house, to try the way to have at least one uphill that can be compared to the uphills in World Cup. So I found in 200 meters, 30 meters
height difference.
Altitude. Yes. And today, for example, I did 5 times 10 minutes in zone 3, and the highest difference, doing many times this uphill, the total climb was more than the 20k in Rukka or Lillehammer for sure, but even for Rukka. So can be possible to find a way to have, but people has to be focused even on this. Can be possible, but by what we are seeing now is even hard only to think where we can start. One thing that we can use at the moment, one problem that we have is even that we don't know where we lose time from the Norwegians. We lose time in uphill, in downhill, in flat parts, in the beginning of the races, in the end of the races. Where exactly? One thing that can do this for help other countries is to put a GPS on the suite.
They already have.
Every athlete.
Norwegians already have.
In competitions, in competition, yeah. And in the end of competitions, as Williams, the Formula One team Williams, know exactly where Max Verstappen start to break the car, or know exactly which is the highest speed in this exactly point, and maybe for sure they don't know what there is inside the engine, but you can have more data by the races to try to improve and find a way exactly where to be better. People in
I think, don't you think that also this could be, because you said we need to have a TV production which is more exciting, and then if you have one commentator, then it's, if you have two, then it's better. Man, this one, there you can get a material, so you maybe have a studio which can analyze the material. Yeah. Okay, we can see Federico in the qualification in Kusamo. Okay, he for the first flat, and then there was a right turn and 50 meters of flat before downhill. He lost 0.7 seconds to Klabo. Okay, this is, but then in the downhill, he was actually faster by 0.2 seconds. And then you can analyze, and then you get more data, and then it could be more exciting also for the TV viewers.
Yes. So I think that the TV commentators can learn more can study more. Not only now they can look at socials, for example, to know something more of the lifestyle of the athlete out of competing, but even inside the competition, we can get more exciting this
will be, I think this will be in the interest of the FIS as well. I cannot imagine why FIS are not trying to be a little more exciting, trying to be a little more.
But something they at the moment, what I can say is that it's from many years that I am always there when there are meetings, athletes meetings, and even meetings with the race director and for example now with Mikael and Doris and Sinne for communication from, he is from Norway, Sinne maybe, yeah, the name. And I think now all have understood that something has to change, all even inside FIS.
Okay.
Finally.
But
finally.
Okay. Do they have any suggestions to what? So the quotas, that's their...
No. Quotas is only... I heard... this is my opinion, the quotas, for sure. It's one idea that maybe can be. Not only this, but maybe can be. Even only because I know that in World Ski Championship, as you said before, I know this, in World Ski Championships and in the Olympics, it's easier to go to do the result. So my line, my idea is to give the 100% of Kiko Pellegrino every race. So the main goal for me is the performance. Then the result come from the performance. And even by how many strong athletes are competing against me. So, as you said before, if in the Olympics you have only 4 Norwegians, and if we start to think that I could have 10 Norwegians at my level, in the Olympics I have only 4 that I have to beat to have the good results. Then I think only to the performance. My main goal is not to the result. So, thinking in this way, we can say that... that in the Olympics is easier, or in the World Ski Championship it's easier to go to get the result. So it's starting from this idea that I think that can be possible to have more fight with a lower quota.
I 100% agree with you. So just to say that first, that if we are to, but I feel like that's like. Cowarding out, that's like the easy way out. That is, so let's say we have to just keep the system we have now. You're 100% right, and it breaks my heart to say it, but yeah, then we would have to say only maybe even less, like even less than 6, 5 people from each nation. That's the limit, and that's the only way to have it like competitive, because then Pellegrino will like more likely win, because let's be honest, the competition will be easier. It will be easier, as you said.
But from the Norwegian perspective, the Olympics or the World Champs are the hardest one, because the Norwegians have been qualifying so hard that they might have used their best shape, and all the other athletes are at the top. Pellegrino is always best in the championship, because he know that day, he for maybe a whole year or 2 years, he know I will race in Planica. I know I will race, so I will have my best performance and my best shape that weekend or that period of time. But the Norwegians, if they are not on their best level, except for Klæbo, which is always exceptional, they are not at the top level, always.
This is what happens in my mind when I approach to the Olympics. I have to beat 4 Norwegians. This is... about what happens in the last two Olympic Games. One will win. One get the place really lot of time ago. So now maybe the shape is down. One cannot take this responsibility to do the result. Then maybe one has some problems with the skis. So I can be, for sure, if I do my best, I can be the second. And then this is what happened. I'm sorry, but this is what happened in the last two Olympic Games. So maybe it was the wrong way because I could even beat Klabo, okay? But as I said before, this is only for joking because, as I said before, my main goal is to do the best performance of Kiko Pelle. And in the sprint, it's easier for what my characteristics because I think I am not so bad in tactics. And so I know how to manage my energies, how to use my skis in the best way to reach the best performance. So that means the less seconds to join the final part, and by using the right tactics.
Yeah, and
better than Kalle Halvarsson.
I think Kalle is one of the strongest athletes that cross country skiing have seen in the last 10-15 years. Yeah. But if you look at his palmarès, I cannot understand how he won podiums and races and medals. For sure, medals. Mm. And this was a big problem for him, I think. And I think it's a problem about sometimes about self confidence. Sometimes too much, sometimes not enough for him. Mm. But it's only my idea.
But as you said, you always come prepared. But I just want, before we leave, I want to test. Like, I have a suggestion for a solution for this whole thing. And I want to hear what you, as an Italian, as the savior, as the last savior of the sport, what you have to think about this. Do you think it will fly? Okay, so my suggestion is that we have to be inspired by American sports. And American sports, they are organized the way that there are, let's say, 10 teams. And the 10 teams, they own the league. And the league in this case is the World Cup, or today what we know as the World Cup. So, and you have to then, so the job is for someone who's going to start this will be to find 10 potential rich investors, and it has to be private persons, people who are going to invest in a team. It has to first. What's your crazy prime minister, Silvio Berlusconi? He could be one of the guys. He can buy the Italian team, and you will find like a German.
But we have already this. We are ready for this. We have four. We have the four military groups. We are ready. We have the teams.
Yeah, but do you think that
for us, we have coaches paid, we have vaxxers paid, we have communication people paid, athletes paid.
Okay.
So for us, we can be ready. On
okay,
this.
But if
you but have to, you have to start.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. Yeah, maybe. But you have to hear me out. And it might be that you have this, but okay, because then what the 10 teams has to do, then you have to go to the best athletes. You have to go to you. You have to go to club. You have to go to everyone and say that in 3 years we're going to launch this league. And this league is going to have this program, and we have gone, and also you have gone to the television, like the biggest television stations in Europe and in Norway, and say, in 3 years we're coming, and we have Pellegrino, we have Klabo, we have everyone, and it's not going to be the national team. You're going to have the Italian team. On the Italian team, yeah, the captain of the Italian team is Federico Pellegrino. But guess who he has with him? He has Emil Iversen, is a part of his team. He has Friedrich Moch, is a part of his team, and he has some young up and coming talents from the Czech Republic on his team, and he's going to lead that team to victory against the team from France that has like some and the Polish team, and you have Norwegian team. Klabo is the captain of Norwegian team, and Karl Halvorsen is the captain of the Swedish team. But together with Karl Halvorsen, he has people from all the nations. Then you get, of course, you will get like, hopefully you will get like a lift in everyone, because the Italian team, you will then get inspired by Emil Iversen. Emil Iversen will bring his competence from Norway when it comes to training and workout. He has his resources in Norway that he can call upon, and you will tell him, get your trainer to come down to Italy. We will fly him down. And to be able to do this, you have to have financing, because how are you going to get Klabo to go away from the World Cup? You have to tease him with money.
But for having
many
finance,
of these people,
but for having,
many of these people will come from Qatar, I think.
But, only one people from Qatar. but I agree with you. But what I can say is that TV broadcast is not owned by FIS or the National Ski Federations. So if somebody, no, there is a discussion, is the televisions are discussing with if it comes really rich guy that want to promote his own cross country ski race, as I don't know, Helsinki Ski Week. Or I don't know, some other or a Blink Festival, for example. He can.
Yeah, he can. Of course. So, but nobody has done it. It's not, of course.
The problem maybe can be if the athletes has an agreement with the ski federation. I don't know. For example, the Norwegians has the agreement.
Yeah,
so
but that's not for long.
They
it's
cannot.
Like,
they are not allowed to compete in I don't know, in ski classic or other kind of races. So, but. If somebody want to try, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, of course,
I would like to see.
I agree with you that there's not a law that prohibits people to do this today. But the problem is that I think it is a really big project to take on, because if you do this half-assed, you won't like. And I don't mean to be talked down on the ski classics, but they are not able to take. You are not considering joining ski classics. Because it's better for you to be an athlete and participate in the World Cup. But if the money, but I have to say, because let's say if Ski Classics offered you triple, quadruple the salary that you get today, you would like you might say now that you won't go, but I think that a lot of athletes they will follow the money, and I think that I will not do anything with the World Championships and the Olympics that has to stay exactly the same. There is going to be nation against nation, and think how much fun it will be when you have never seen the what's stafette in English, is that, help me out.
Relay.
Relay. When you haven't seen the Norwegian team or the Italian team in relay, because the past relays you have seen in the league, in this new league, has been Pellegrino and Emil Iversen and Friedrich Mock together on the same team. So you know how they are functioning, and they're functioning well. But how will Emil Iversen and Klæbo go together? We don't know, because we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I am for the idea for a more show by cross-country skiing.
But what would it take for you to like, let's say that I what would it take for you to say, okay, I would rather join this new shiny league that's coming in 2 to 3 years than to compete and kind of stay with the my federation? What would it take for you to that? Because it's easy to say, yeah, I'm open, but what would it honestly take?
First of all, my job, how can I say? I am paid by the military group, so I could go to the military group and say, I have this opportunity. Can I? Then, for sure, if all the Italian strongest athletes go to their military groups, then the military groups that will find together and they will start to think, we have to think if it's good for us. So they will go to the Ski Federation and say to the Ski Federation, what do you think about this? And the Ski Federation for sure can say, no, but I don't know at the moment is if the Ski Federation can... let me compete in World Ski Championships or in the Olympics if I don't go to an. Oh no, I know that I cannot, because for going to the World Ski Championships or for going to the Olympics, I have to reach some results by World Cup races.
Yeah,
so maybe this is
everybody or nobody. So if you are the only one joining this new league, of course you won't be able to compete in the Olympics. But if all the best Norwegians and all the best Germans and all the best French people and all the, then
this was not the problem with the ice hockey, maybe something like that was a discussion in the last that some NHL athletes were not going or something like that. I don't remember, but I remember that.
In the NHL, was it?
NHL athletes who didn't went to the Olympics.
I don't know why, but yeah.
I think the Olympics.
So yes,
for sure. Then
not
then
the best.
That was their choice. I don't think that was the federation. I think that because they initials.
National Olympic Committees.
Okay, they didn't allow.
Agree. The national the Olympia Toppen agree with the National Ski Federation the rules for going to the Olympics. So the National Italian Ski Federation proposed to the Olympic Committee, Italian Olympic Committee, these are the quotas for going to the Olympics. And they say, okay, for us it's okay that athletes. So maybe you should go to the Italian Olympic Committee and say, no, don't say yes to the Ski Federation that is by law under for the only ski federation in Italy by law, but you should try to change this moment, this key moment. I think this is really hard, maybe impossible.
Yeah.
But why not? The idea is not so bad. But if I look at what is cross country skiing now, I think we can do a better show on television only by do little changes only to grow put up the ends, not thinking about the own country's goals, but for the sport cross country ski goal. This is the only way. Is even the athletes should start to do a little step back, not think about only their own business. Because if I think only about my own business, I could be in the last 10 years saying every interview, put more sprint skating. I didn't, because I think that we have many races to do. And okay, I am strong there. I have 6 or 7 races like this in World Cup every year. I have to be at my best in these races. But I think that can be possible to go to the TV viewers in a better way with small changes. This change that you think about is really exciting. It's really interesting. But it's really hard or impossible politically,
yeah,
by how the sport is built, because we have IOC first of all, and then going down. Because I think that the best competition that every athlete wants to do is the Olympics.
I agree with you, but not entirely.
If it was easy,
yeah, but not entirely.
If it was easy to change these rules. Yes, but
yeah, but I agree. But you saying that
to continue to discuss about this, I think it's not.
Yeah, but I agree. But you're saying that the Olympics is the most important race for you, and I agree. It is now for cross country athletes. But if you ask an NBA athlete, what's the most important thing?
Yes.
The basketball in the Olympics? No, they will say, hell no. I'm making $200 million a year winning the NBA championship. I don't care. Like, the US didn't compete in the Olympics until 1992, and then they went there just for show.
Yes, but if you think about how many basketballs there are in the world and how many cross-country skis there are in the world, it's not compared. If you think about cycling, if you look at the asphalt roads in the world compared to the cross-country ski tracks in the world, you cannot compare it.
No.
You cannot. It's not the same. It's not. You cannot think about the, in this way. We have to think that, first of all, climate change.
Yeah.
The climate is changing. So if we want to do some changes, we have to do it quickly, in the fastest way, and only by do good proposal from the ski federations, because the FIS start to think about a change. Something different only when the National Ski Federation propose a new rule. And then in 6 months, it's possible to change.
Yeah,
in six months, true. It's possible to change many things. But if you want to change the rule of the way to put money in cross-country skiing, yes, the only country that can is you, is Norway, because you have oil. This is the only country. Yeah. Yes, but if you look at Qatar, why Qatar has money for this? Why Norway is for this?
Yeah.
So you, if you want to try, The only is not Berlusconi.
Everyone work for him. It won't work.
Now,
we don't
now,
know.
I don't know cross country. He is really a friend of Manuela Di Centa. So maybe through Manuela Di Centa, because she is politician now since many years. But if you want to start something like that, to show to the athletes and to the people that can be a possibility, is by Norway that somebody has to put money a lot. And start like Blink Festival, for example. Blink Festival is really great. Mm. Blink Festival, Lotopidrasveka, are really great events. So, but I know that there are millions euros there, 3 million, the budget, something like that.
I don't know, but
something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really expensive.
Yeah, yeah. So, but changing this is way more expensive than 3 million.
If somebody
euros.
Want, it's not only by going to the televisions in the interviews after the race and saying, we have to change, we have to go to the private clubs. Yes, for sure, can be an idea. We discussed this, I think, in the last 1 hour. Okay, can be an idea and can be really, really, really exciting idea. But we can do it, yes or not? If to convince is a noun, I don't know.
It's a word.
That it's the best idea, you should start to do something similar. Helsinki Ski Week is starting to do something like that. Because I think they tried to do a good show last year. They had all the strongest athletes were there. Why? Because we love to race in a stadium in Helsinki. Okay.
Not so much.
So,
it's the food.
Yes. Or the COVID.
Yes.
but so you know which is the way to have the athletes or why we were along a lot of people in China in the first FIS race in China after Olympics in 2018.
Follow the money.
Because we love China to compete at 20 degrees in the middle of April. I don't think
the food.
So follow the money. Where are money now? The country where money are closer to cross-country skiing is Norway. So if you want to do it, try. Yeah. And
stop whining.
For sure, I will take care. Yeah. And I will compete if I can.
Yeah. This maybe is the after same to answer com- as
maybe after said. maybe after to compete. Yes. Okay. So I have to change my answer.
No. But you are saying that the only difference here is that. Ulvang said that we, Hans Olav and me, had to do it. You are saying that Norway. So it's the same answer, but you are more generous about the responsibility. And we really thank you for that.
We have to say...
No, but I think...
Because we have no money. No. I have no money. I know nothing.
But as you see, we really love the discussion. We love the sport and we love the discussion and try to be... To look at it from a different perspective. But I think that you are, I have to say, you're such an intelligent guy. And I think it's a good thing for FIS that they have you in the athletes board. And it makes me feel a bit more secure for the future of the sport, knowing that you are on top of it. And you have really dived into this theme. And that's a good thing. So, and I agree with you. Hearing you saying it, I think that you have a really good point in that. You could talk about these dreams and these huge and massive ideas and the million of dollars that needs to come into the sport, but that's nothing that can't happen in 6 months, as you say. But
I love dreams.
And I think that's important. But you're also right that maybe we could do some. We could start with the easy stuff first. And our good friend Petter Schinstad, he's saying the same things that you're saying that. It's a good thing to dream. Maybe you can start over here with this long-term solution. But I think that the grown-ups in the room have to find the short-term solutions, and that starts with the quotas. And it hurts me to say that because I feel bad for the Norwegians, the superstars in Norway that are top 12 in Norway and most likely top 20 in the world, but they are not able to compete.
We talk about this so long tonight, but I agree with you. I agree with Schinstad and yes, I love to dream, but maybe I dream less bigger. So I started by a dream calendar. We call a group athlete group, athlete captains. We started in 2019 to do a group with the goal to do the dream calendar. This was a little, maybe, after Astrid Jacobsen words that the calendar was not healthy. So I said, okay, as athletes, we can do our purpose. We cannot say only no, 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 no. And so we started to think about our dream calendar. And what we are seeing now, even for next, not for this season, but for next season, with three weekends, competition weekends, then rest, then Tour de Ski, then rest, then three competition weekends, then rest, then maybe FIS Games, we don't know, or maybe America block, and then rest, and then the final part. Okay, but we have to see, we as own countries or own athletes, singular countries or singular athletes, we have to start to think about all our sports. So, for example, one example, Holmenkollenski Festival is really important for our sport, and it's really important that it's always in the same period, in the same weekend. Okay, but you think it's good to have 250k in 8 days? It's healthy. It's healthy. It's possible to do the 50k in the end of World Ski Championships, so where you have to compete in your top level for 10 days, and after 7 days, another 50k, maybe an even more important competition.
And then you only have competed against 4 Norwegians in the 50k in the championship, and then there are 10 more rested Norwegian in Holmenkoll ready to go.
This is a show. Yes, for people that drinks beer along the track, it's always a show, even for me, that last year I competed my first time. So, but for having the top athletes ready in this moment, maybe 1 week later, or maybe we can think about this, but we cannot go there and say, no, I want this in this moment, and no discussion. Okay, if we start like this, and I'm sorry. So
principles are good, but they must not be standing in the way of development. I agree. Sure. We could talk for hours, but we should not. You are going to be a father, Pellegrino.
Yes. And
by this time, in 2 or 3 weeks, you will be sleeping. And then you will...
I can't wait.
10 minutes, you will be wake up.
I can't
and then
wait
you will
this
go
moment.
To bed. Yeah, that, it will be...
It was good to for you to discuss with me about this subject in this moment, because in the future, I don't know if anymore on this. So.
And we didn't speak 1 second about De Fabiano. We did not even mention
first
the new guy,
first of all,
Muccellini.
First of all, start to call him in the right way. De Fabiani.
De Fabiani.
De Fabiani.
De Fabiani.
De Fabiani. De Fabiani.
I think we are saying De Fabiano.
No, you are saying that. I've never said that. That's no, but Federico, you're such a superstar, and I hope, I don't know if you know that, but you are so important for this sport, and it's keep on doing what you're doing, and
I don't know where,
and we are rooting for you. At least this podcast, we're rooting for you, because we know how important you are for the sport. You and Andrew Musgrave, you guys are carrying Europe and the sport on your shoulders, so just keep up that level, please. Yeah,
we try. I just want to ensure you that for sure the private teams is not a bad idea. It's not the worst idea. Okay. The only thing is that the longest and the hardest. And I am inside the Olympic committee, the Olympic Council, Italian Olympic Committee Council, as an athlete representative. So I know how it's hard to change rules in sport.
True.
And by the Olympic Committee, it's really hard. And I don't think that we have enough power on this as cross-country skiing, because we are not so many nations doing cross-country skiing in the world.
I think perhaps, I think perhaps Hans Olav has the same advantage that you had when you were a kid, because you did not know how many Norwegian skiers and how many young kids who were skiing in Norway. So you just started out and trying to be really good in skiing. And then once you were really good, you got to travel to Norway and you saw how many kids were skiing. And Hans Olav, he does not know anything about politics and cross-country skiing. So he said, I will make a private league. And he said, don't know anything about ILC and sorry anything.
Sorry if you live in the social media the time of history, but yes. And about this subject, I'm sure that I am not so sure that for the Italians and for the junior teams that go to the training camp in Norway in every year, the Italians, the French, I'm not so sure that it's a good idea. I can explain.
I understand.
The shock that I had, but I had this shock later, yeah. Not when I was starting to find a way to be at the same level of the strongest. I knew this later, but now, how can I? And then there are coaches that maybe with GPS files that they can show, okay, here you're not at your best, you can improve on this. Here, you can improve this. Here, this is the Vaxxers. So we can go there and we can discuss with the Vaxxers. If you have a plan, then if you have a plan, you can.
I love young foreigners.
I have one last question, Federico, because you mentioned the Vaxxers. Is the Norwegian Vaxxers, the Skismørre, are they like, do the Norwegians have better skis than the rest? Is that a feeling?
I think that when you have strong arms and strong legs, then it's easier to prepare good skis because you have not to try something so strange, so particular, so hard, something really that you can do big difference. You can stay, yes, around there. Più o meno per di là, sì sì, un po' tengo un po' meno. You understood, yes? But you need strong arms and strong legs and strong athletes for thinking about this. Then for sure the Norwegians are doing a really great job every time. And I think the cold can help us because it seems that in the cold they are not so strong that like for example in
dry snow
snow, that's the worst for the Norwegians.
But when the kick is really at the limit,
tricky.
Then it's really hard. It's not impossible, but it's really hard to beat them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we have to have you on again.
Like in Trondheim.
Sprint skate in Trondheim is better for me.
I remember in the the tour, yes. Bolshunov versus Gulberg.
yes, I remember. Me too.
Okay, now we have to have you on again. Hopefully you will enjoy becoming a father. And that's, we have to mention, that's why you didn't participate at Beitostølen, because you are waiting your first child, and that is, I think that's a good excuse for not participating.
but I started to think to compete all the races because in the last 2 years I started to train more. Simply. And last year with the Olympic sprint skate medal, I think I reached the last really singular important goal of my career. So I have now Olympic medal in classic style, Olympic medal in skating style. So now I can only ski for fun, not for results. And the main goal that I have now, it's only to go to try year after year to go to the Olympics in 2026 and try to do a medal with a team.
Yeah.
I need this. I miss this. Yeah. And before the Olympics, in the World Ski Championships, again, to find a way to try and help my teammates, if I can, to increase their level, to arrive to find a way to beat the French guys. Yes, because the Norwegian and the Russians are too strong, but the French guys, we can beat them. So they are always there on the podium in the team event. So in the men team event. So this is the main goal, and I hope that my kid will sleep well, and my mom will be healthy, and everything will be good, and I can still continue to enjoy cross country skiing.
Will Greta start skiing again, or no?
For sure, skiing, yes. To compete, let me see. Yeah, because okay. it's not like in Norway, so it's even by the way to think of life, we are a little bit different in this way. We are more, in Italy, la famiglia, and it's hard.
Good.
It's hard to stay long time out of home. You are more, trolls, you are more, I don't know.
We don't care about that.
Thank you and goodbye.
Not this, but for sure it's different. And then we for doing well our job, we have to move a lot from our home.
Yeah.
And in Norway, you can even stay home and train at your best. So maybe we can move to live in Norway, and then let me see. But I think La Familia will be hard to leave.
We need a team captain for my private team in Italy. So don't move. Okay, guys, it's an honor, and we have to have you on again, Federico. Thank you for your time. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you. Ciao.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.